Let's pray. Lord, we do worry. The truth is, we worry all the time. We're good at it. And we come to church and we come to prayer time, and well, we do, but we worry. Lord, may we use this time, this prayer time, to tell you why we're worried, to place our worries in your hand. And Lord, we ask you to help us trust you with our worries and cares. Lord, hear now as we name the people that we love and the people who need your touch, the people that we're worried about right now. Lord, we ask you now to lift our eyes from our cares and our worries to the people around us, to the people in our neighborhoods and in our offices, and the people whose houses we will drive by on the way home. Those people have terrible things going on in their lives. They have health issues. They have kids on drugs. They don't know how to pay the bills. They've lost a job. Lord, help us to look past ourselves and help us to see those in need, because I know that you want to use me and you want to use these people to be your hands and feet in the world. Show us how to be your people, we pray. Amen.
Do you worry about anything?
Sure. Everything. Well, you know, the sun could go nova, something could come in from the Oort cloud and blast us, viruses. Yeah, worry about lots of stuff.
Do you worry about anything?
Yes, always. That's one of my problems.
Do I worry about anything? What kind of question is that? Yeah, I worry about stuff.
Anything you can share?
Money, job. That's about it.
What is the cure, do you think, to not worry?
A lot of money and a good job.
Do you worry about anything?
Oh, no. You know what? Right now I'm worrying about her. I think we just lost her shoe.
How about you, ma'am? Do you worry about anything?
I worry about earthquakes living in L.A.
Do you worry about anything?
Are you kidding? Am I human?
I worry about a lot of things. I worry about my family, my daughter particularly, and my grandkids, and I worry about myself, and I worry about other people. I'm a worrier.
I worry about everything. I wonder if I'm still gonna have a job today or tomorrow.
What are some things that you worry about, if you don't mind sharing?
Homework. School, sports, friends, yeah.
Well, I think the future for our youth. I have two grandsons, 13 and 15, and I look at them and I'm concerned.
Yeah, I worry. But I worry less now that I'm older than I did when I was younger. I don't know why that is, but...
Do you worry about anything?
Everybody worries, I think.
And why do you think that is?
You want things to go your way. You worry, am I going to do this right? I always tell my girlfriend, I'll give her $5,000 if she can come up with one good thing that worry brings her. She hasn't cashed in yet.
So I want to hear from you. What do you worry about? Work? I worry about work. Yeah. Yeah. When I was sitting in my little ivory tower, I made this list of things that I worry about. I worry about death, downsizing, taxes, school, work, terrorism, the weather, the sirens were going off. I worry about cancer, sickness. I worry about predators. dementia, Alzheimer's, growing older, gas prices, retirement, making friends. We worry about our kids, teenagers dating, teenagers driving, who and what our teenagers are texting, drugs, car wrecks, what else? I'm worried. I might have forgotten something. Worry is our mother tongue, our second nature, or maybe it's our first nature. We worry whether we're young or old, and we're good at it. We practice it as if becoming really good worriers will somehow save us from what we fear. It seems like we have more faith in our worry than we do in God. Where am I going to find a job in this economy? How am I going to sell my house? How am I going to pay for my kids' college? Isn't life more than retirement? Is life health? Is that all there is? Is life not more than whether or not you're married? Today's passage from the Sermon on the Mount speaks precisely to this image of worry. I'm reading from the Message, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Jesus said, "If you decide to live for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more than the birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of a mirror, ever gotten taller by as much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes a difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do what's best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. C.S. Lewis said, "The moment you wake up each morning, all of your wishes and hopes for the day rush in at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists of shoving it all back in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come quietly flowing in." I think there's a relationship between the size of our worry and the size of our faith. At least for me, that's true. And if Jesus said that we were to stop worrying about our lives, then we have to assume that there's a way to do it, right? Reading today's passage, I realized that Jesus was really a very happy person. Now, we know those scriptures that say Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We know he suffered beatings. We know he suffered crucifixions. We know that the weight of the sin of the entire world came upon him. And we know that he prayed in the garden to avoid that suffering. We know he wept at Lazarus's tomb. But we also know that Jesus was invited to parties, and he went. That was one of the criticisms people had about Jesus. They said he was a drunkard and a glutton. We know the children were attracted to Jesus. And today's reading tells us that Jesus spent time just enjoying life. He was a bird watcher. I think he would have liked to go on hikes with our scouts. He realized that the birds he saw never seemed to work. He noticed the flowers that covered the hillsides near his home, and he had studied their fragile beauty. Jesus realized that all of these things came simply as a gift from God. The birds, the flowers, they don't work. They don't worry. They don't spend hours on their makeup or picking out the right outfits. They are simply as God made them, and they are beautiful. They are glorious. All from the hand of God. And seeing these things and recognizing these things gave Jesus a vivid and strong sense of the goodness of God. It gave him an appreciation for the here and now. What we know about Jesus' life doesn't show him worrying and obsessing about the future that he must have known he would face. Instead, Jesus has the skill of living totally in the present, celebrating the goodness of here and now. That is a recipe for happiness. It's the comfort we can find stroking a dog or a cat in the midst of any tragedy we face. It's the love that we can taste in a meal that was prepared for us, even if it's after a funeral. It's the smile that comes to our face even on a bad day when the sky is blue and the tulips are blooming. Jesus was enlivened by his surroundings, appreciative of the beauty God works into every piece of creation. And Jesus said, we can be like this too. If we'll put God first in our lives, not some God who is waiting to punish us if we skip a prayer time, not some God who keeps a checklist of how often we read the Bible, but this God that Jesus teaches us about, the one who fills the world with beauty and energy and excitement. Our God, who makes beautiful flowers just because he can. Who makes thousands of varieties of birds just for the joy of it. Our God, who happens to keep this world working just fine, all without our help, and certainly without our worry. So, when Jesus says, don't worry about what to eat or drink or wear, he doesn't mean these things don't matter. Jesus means that God knows what we need. And we can trust God to take care of our needs just as we see God's care proven in all of nature. How many of you have found this to be true, that God really does take care of you? When we are lost and we see no way out, God is there, helping us navigate the next step, providing for our needs in unexpected ways, in ways we could never imagine. I think as we get older, most of us worry less. I know I worry less today than I did a few years ago. Wouldn't it be nice, though, to have back that huge chunk of life that we've spent worrying about things that never happened? The things we've worried about that never ended up being a problem at all. Seems like the things that really get us, that really lay us low, are usually complete surprises to us anyway. They weren't even on our radar to worry about. There's another reason I worry less today than I did a few years ago. It's a skill that was given to me by a psychologist, actually. One of the 5 million things you have to do if you want to be a Methodist pastor is to take a series of psychological tests. They want to make sure, I guess, that you're not any crazier than you need to be a pastor. And after taking these tests, I think it was about 1,200 questions, we were each required to meet with a conference psychologist to discuss our results. Some people are actually dismissed from the process at this point. Jim Jones, the Kool-Aid guy, wanted to be a Methodist pastor, and he was dismissed after his psychological tests. Thank goodness. But for some reason, I slipped through the cracks. And when I met with Dr. Brown, one of the things he said was, people with your testing patterns often tend to worry and obsess over failure. Any of you know me? Is that right? It's right. It's right. In fact, he called this trait awfulizing. And you might recognize it yourself. It's what you do maybe in the middle of the night when you're rehashing your day, you can't sleep. And you think about that thing you shouldn't have said, or that email you shouldn't have sent, or that thing you forgot to do that got you in trouble, or just that flat out, I made a mistake error that we all make. And I just run that around and around in my mind, making it worse, probably, than it really is. Awfulizing it. What if he's mad? What if she tells everybody? What if they all hate me? What's that sound? Are they coming with torches in the night to burn me? You know how it is at 2 a.m, right? And Dr. Brown suggested that when I start this obsessing, that I just let that thought go to its logical conclusion. So what if he is mad at me? Then what? What are you going to do about it? It sort of gets you off the worry bubble, doesn't it? So if he is mad at me, well, then I probably need to apologize. I need to try to make it right. Let's say you're worried about a test. Worried about failing a class. Maybe you need to get out of bed and quit worrying and start studying. Maybe in the morning you need to meet with your teacher or find a tutor. Maybe you need to ask your parents for some extra help. I know I would be delighted to buy my children extra textbooks to study. I have done it. Maybe you're worried about your health. You're overweight. You're out of shape. You get winded just walking to the fridge for your sweet tea. You're afraid of a heart attack and you're worried. Worrying's not going to help that. What's going to help that? You need to start walking, maybe lifting weights, maybe get in a Zumba class. I don't know. Cut back on what you eat. You see how carrying your worry to the logical conclusion gets you off the worry bubble and gets you on to action. Lots of times there really is a simple answer. You can make a call, apologize, write a note, make a visit, get that medical test taken, work on your resume. Sometimes we need to quit worrying and get to work. But sometimes there's absolutely nothing you can do about the worry that you have. An apology's not going to fix it. A new diet's not going to repair it. You're not in charge. And there's nothing you can do about this big, scary fear in your life. And at 2 a.m, when you can't sleep because you can't fix what's broken in your life, that's when we learn how to pray. And it really doesn't matter how we pray. It really only matters that we pray. I love these directions that Paul gave us. I'm reading Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, again from the Message. Paul says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns before you know it. A sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. What's at the center of your life right now? Honestly, for me, it's worry. But I want it to be Christ. I have a friend who literally writes her worries down on little pieces of paper. And she puts those papers in a jar way up in the top back of her kitchen cabinets. Stowing her worries away like that is her way of acting out this idea of shaping your worries into prayers. It's her way of saying, I'm turning this over to God right now, and I'm going to leave it up there on the shelf with Him. Of course, the rule is then, if she starts to worry and fret about that same thing that she just put in the jar, she's got to go drag a chair over there and get it out of that jar. And she's got to go through all those other worries that she's put up there. And she really doesn't want to do that. So she's trained herself to turn her worries into prayers and to leave them with God, our good God, who feeds the birds and clothes the wildflowers, all without our help and without our worry. She's the one who tells me, every evening I turn worries over to God, He's going to be up all night anyway. Living without worrying, to many of us, sounds as impossible as trying to live without breathing. But today, Jesus has placed before us an invitation, a choice, a decision that is completely ours. We can trust, or we can worry, It's a choice. Let me show you what I mean.
Jesus, I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you. I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
Right, well, this is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right?
Right. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Yes, I do trust you. I'm going to fall
okay.
back.
Woo! Oh, okay.
Great.
Okay. Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm really going to do it.
Okay. Good.
Ah! Oh, Jesus, you really got me! I didn't think you were going to catch me, but you did!
Oh, that was great!
That was great!
You're ready for level two!
Level two, here
yes.
I come, baby! Woo!
No.
Whoa!
Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Forward fall.
Okay.
I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes. The okay. Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus, I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
Look that way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
I'm not saying it's easy. Quit worrying. I am saying it's a choice. We can worry or we can trust God with our prayers. We can't do both. Amen. Would you please stand? I would like us to do our benediction together today on the screens. Let's say this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May our Lord of grace and love give you peace in the week ahead. Amen.